Welcome to the Business of Show Business with me, Jamie Boddy. I'm joined by industry experts and up-and-coming creatives as we unpack the skills, stories, and side hustles behind the entertainment and creative industries. So if you are ready to thrive and not just survive in showbiz and the arts and culture sector, you're in the right place. Today, I am joined by dancer turned fitness coach, Chelsea Labadini. We're going to be talking about all things fitness, full body fitness, how dancers can train smarter for a longer career, and then also using social media to bolster a personal brand. Let's talk all things the business of show business. Chelsea, how's it going?
It's good. Thank you so much for having me.
We're literally saying like, this is almost, it's a catch up hidden in a podcast episode. Yeah. We've probably not seen each other properly in years, really.
Yeah, I would like a drink next to me. It's really sunny outside, but you know, we're okay with water, so it's fine.
Over there, so right now, so people know who you are now. You've got a fabulous online fitness brand, but we cross paths as a dancer. We both work for Royal Caribbean, so we were assisting at those auditions. So in a nutshell, let's talk about performer Chelsea. I think it's important maybe to talk a bit about your career, but then also maybe like the mindset as a dancer. So then we can talk about the mindset as you as a fitness entrepreneur.
Yeah, sure. So I was in the industry for over 10 years, maybe 13 years. And I guess I describe my career as like Jack of all trades, masters of none. Like anything that someone hired me for, I was like, yes, I can do that. And I don't think I was the most talented performer, but
she's very talented.
No, there were other people that were definitely better, but I somehow managed to work a lot and do the things that I really wanted to do and travel the world and do shows that I loved and had the best time.
And then now, fast forward, you are kind of dance adjacent in the fact of you are a fitness coach, but you also, I think one thing I love about your social media is you dispel a lot of fitness myths and then maybe like what dancers should or shouldn't be training. So when was that light bulb moment for you to think, right, I've loved performing, but let's maybe look at fitness? Was it kind of a gradual thing or was it kind of more of a cold turkey straight in?
Well, it was COVID. So I remember we were actually, it's a funny story, we were actually doing like, because I used to do bridal shows because they'd want dancers that were like tall enough to wear the dresses. So, and we would remember where we were going. So we were all on a bridal show somewhere. That's literally the only reason we like right left. And we were on a bridal job and we kept seeing all this stuff about COVID. We were like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm not going to change anything. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. And then the next day was lockdown.
And your wedding dress is sat there like.
Yeah. We were like, oh. So I think that I didn't believe it was happening. And then, well, none of us did we? And then I remember my agent calling and it was all fun and games when all of us were in lockdown and it was like, we didn't know how long it was going to last for. And then I think when we realised how long the theatres were going to be closed for and the fact that we weren't making any money, I was like, I actually need to do something. And I was like, I'm going to do a PT course online. Obviously had all the time in the world. And to be honest, I liked fitness, but I wasn't obsessed with it. And I did just start doing it because I thought it's something to do. But then when I started doing the course and learning about it, I actually thought that like a lot of performers, I actually thought I knew a lot about training. I was like, because as dancers, we are a little bit smug. We're like, ugh, I know how to do that. I know how to do a lunge or whatever. Because we do. You show us how to do something and you just do it. But I couldn't believe when I did my course how little I actually knew. And that's when I started falling in love with it.
And I think for you, did it replace maybe that buzz of performing then once you kind of got into it? Because I think that's one of the hardest things when you maybe transition out of performing is that you used to get clapped for a living.
Yeah.
But do you get the kind of that same feeling from helping someone to achieve their goal?
Yeah, it's really changed. It's weird because if you said to me years ago, what would you do if you didn't dance? I would be like, oh my God.
Who am I?
I could never not stop dancing. Who would I be? What would I be? Would I be happy? Who would my friends be? And now, if I think back to, if you put me in an audition room now, I would cry. Me and my friends, they're all ex-dancers. Did you see our TikTok the other day?
Yes, yes.
We did a dancer TikTok. I mean, I sound so old, but we learned some choreo. It took us about 3 hours. I mean, we're getting nervous to like shoot it. So like, I think that you think you can't change, but you really can. And to answer your question, yes, like I get so much joy out of coaching people and teaching people that they can do things. And we're so lucky that we were brought up moving our bodies. And there's so many people that haven't done that and start doing that later on in life. And it really can transform your life.
So kind of springboarding off that, are there many transferable skills from you as a performer to you in fitness? And I 100% agree, like movement, we take that for granted. Like when I transitioned more into like journalism and marketing and I was sat behind a laptop, I was like, it's been a good day or a bad day, but like, how do I get out my body?
Yeah.
But are there any other transferable skills from you as a performer to you now as a fitness coach that kind of has been like a seamless move over?
Yeah, I think that when you're a performer, you don't realize how many skills you actually have. And you, without realizing, I think I was really good at marketing myself. So the emails that I would have sent in my head, I thought, all the other girls that are doing that bridal show are the same height as me. I'm going to email them, or I'm going to get some good photos done. Or like, you're branding yourself, how you show up to an audition, you know, what you wear. And I think that transfers to all other areas. How you show up somewhere, even how you communicate with somebody, is key. And that confidence of showing up and putting yourself in really difficult situations constantly, like without realizing, we've like trained where you go, and it's actually mad. You go, you learn a dance that you don't know that you're gonna do, or you sing a song, even if you're maybe not good at singing, in front of a panel of people, and they don't even look at you sometimes, and then they're like, no thank you, and then you continue on with your day. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not normal. It's normal when you're doing it, but like that, I think that gives you so much grit, and that is actually what makes you successful and run a good business.
Yeah, exactly. Because people either want to work with nice people, and also kind
that's
of people.
Very important.
That's number one. But also people that kind of know who they are, or if they don't have skills, they know how they want to upskill or be in those rooms. I think it's great then that you're like, right, these girls are the same height, but what sets me apart? Or do I need new photos because I've had changed my looks? I think branding is so key.
Yeah.
So flipping that question, now that you are successful as this fitness coach, are there any skills that you're using now that you think, oh, I wish I'd maybe used that a bit more as a performer? Or are there any skills that you think, hang on, all performers should be using these more when they are in the industry?
I think that if you're somebody even listening to this podcast, then you're doing a good job, because you're thinking outside the box. I think that the people that have done well or are doing well in the industry are actually also thinking outside the box. Like, it's not just talent. So I think that if you are thinking of yourself as a business, then you will do well. Like, I've worked or am working with lots of performers who are absolutely killing it in the industry, but they're still like, I want to be good in the gym, I want to get even better. Like, I really think that thinking outside the box, and also realizing that your health and your fitness will have a massive, massive impact on how you show up. And I didn't implement that when I was performing, and that's what I would change.
Yeah, I think we glamorize the hustle so much.
Yeah.
I remember before being like, oh, I've worked like 22 days this month.
Yeah.
Like, but who is that boasting to? Like, I just look haggard and like, I'm not giving my 100%. So I think that is so good that you said that.
Yeah.
You also said that as dancers, we've kind of got like a level of, we know what we're doing in the gym.
Yeah.
But not always the case.
No.
Not always the case. Are there any kind of big things that you think dancers, like, or actors as well, because obviously acting is so physical as well, what are maybe some of the things you think, right, start taking this seriously or do more of this? Is it mobility? Is it nutrition? Is it all of it? Are there any kind of key areas you think, right, anyone listening now, these are the first things, or this is where you start?
Yeah, I think just knowing that you are number one, how you fuel yourself, how much you're moving, how you show, that impacts how you show up, whether that's for an audition, whether that is for like with your friends or whatever. It's, if you're not feeling good and you're not in a good place, then that reflects on your life. And that isn't a thing about being stick thin, like maybe it's very different to what we were maybe taught. It's feeling good in your body no matter what shape or size you are, but looking after it and respecting it. And I think that that has a huge impact on, and everybody should be doing that and thinking about that. If you're not, then this is your moment to like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's food and it's your movement and it's your, when you train and move more, you feel more together.
Yeah, no, exactly. You do. And I think when we talk about branding and visual identity and what you look like, yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean just replicating your headshot. It means like, no. You have to be like, fit for purpose. You need to be able to deliver that show.
Yeah, exactly. And every single person needs a different plan of action. Like it's who you are, what you do, what you want to do, how you want to feel. And I think that don't worry about what everyone else is doing. You've got to really think about what your life is like and your routine, which is really hard as a performer because there is no routine.
No, not at all. And obviously you were in Chicago, the musical, and that's, you're like wearing mesh sometimes. That's very much a visual show as well. So is that something now you think, oh, you were probably doing that on a subconscious level anyway, making sure that you were just taking care of yourself because it was the look that was needed? Or was that just kind of a byproduct from dancing 8 shows a week?
I think that I was doing it all wrong. Like I was lucky that I was moving and we were on the dressing room was the top bloody floor. I don't know how many steps. It was like a hit session going up the stairs in our heels. And without realizing that you're now... with what I know, I mean, I was getting on the train every day. I was changing, I was rushing Tottenham Court Road, right at the escalators, in the break. You would go, do you know what I mean? So my output was really high. So, and then you're doing a show. I mean, sitting in the chairs for quite a while at the sides. But like, I think that if I, but then I also was quite restrictive in the fact that I would be like, I'm not going to have dinner. What I'm going to have is rice cakes and hummus, right? Classic.
Yeah.
And then you'd eat all the rice cakes and all the hummus and I could have just had a sandwich. You know, like it's all of those things is knowing. And that is what I have a lot of dancers that I work with or performers. And it's kind of how they implement that. Even like we've got Wiggies that we work with because we understand my business partner, Maz, she's an ex-dancer as well. And we understand that world and how chaotic it can be. But I really think that knowledge is power.
And also, like with that industry, typically, whether you're in a show or you're gigging, you're working evenings, late nights, potentially getting up early to have your side job. So, like, I think the health aspect is maybe not, people don't layer that as much as they probably should into like what they need to value, maybe heist up.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of like grabbing on the go when you're, and that's fine, but it's kind of like understanding. What kind of foods, I would say, what's going to keep you feeling energized? What's going to keep you full? What's going to give you protein to help your muscles recover? Like just knowing, thinking about your food like that instead of maybe, I don't know, like, oh, is that how many calories are in that? And things like that, I think can really transform how you show up and in your energy for the day. Yeah.
But we are looking for sponsorships. So any rice cakes or hummus companies?
Yeah, we'll take it. Thank you.
So let's look at you now in your fitness sphere and who you work with. Probably a similar lifestyle in the fact of it's freelance, it's client-based, so securing that, like individual clients or boot camps or whatnot. But how does your life kind of look like now, maybe compared to what it was as a performer?
Yeah, it's still... When I first started... So I'm a personal trainer and I still do personal training. I train people in their houses. And then I've got a space that I use.
I would love to look at everyone's house.
Oh gosh, they're so nice. So like they've got very nice gyms. I'm like, and then it's like, I walk around and like it's mine. And then I get back into my, into my 2-bed flat. The like my day is a bit all over the place, but I realize that that's how I like it. So I thrive off that. And I think that it's interesting because, I mean, it's weird because I know some dancers or performers that have gone from the madness and then they've like excelled in a different job where it is like a 9-to-5. They love that security, but I just think we're all made different. And whenever things get a little bit calm for me, I get uncomfortable. So I love like today when you're like, do you want to do this? I'm like, fab, do everything in the morning. Then I'm like, doing my emails on the train, then come here. Like, I love the chaos.
No, I'm someone to say I kind of thrive in chaos, which is weird because my partner's a bit like, you need to settle. And I'm like, but I'm pinging. This is it.
Yeah, like don't you think you're more energized and you do more when you're chaotic?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously we need to rule the chaos in sometimes. But I do think that is true. Like, but again, maybe going back to what you do with like, your fitness as well, but understanding what your input output is, when you thrive, what times of the day you work.
Yeah.
And if you don't know that, maybe that's why you feel lethargic or you're not hitting what you should be.
Yeah, yeah. I think getting to know yourself with whatever you do. Like now I listen to a lot of podcasts, which are really helpful in knowing, you know, like what hours of the day your brain is best and when you're showing up better. Like I'll leave things that I don't want to necessarily do or like the just admin-y things. I'll leave that later on in the day when I know I'm a bit more tired. Like in the mornings, that's when I'm training clients and I have to have energy because they don't want to do it. So it's like, it's kind of, yeah, getting to know yourself well.
Your social media, I think, is a fabulous extension of what you do and what you offer. First of all, it's hilarious, like the whole video of you hugging your hairdresser.
Oh my
Love
God.
That. That was so funny. Check
oh
that
my
out.
God.
But it's obviously for you to get in front of a wider audience and showcase your brand. So how do you now structure in or schedule in social media to kind of your business schedule?
Gosh, I wish I could say that there is structure, but again, it's also quite chaotic. But actually, that's me and that's what works. And when I kind of put the pressure on posting and make it a bit forced, that's when it does, like, it doesn't do very well. I think people like to see that it's real and it's organic. I think and for me now social media is just part of my day, so like I am that person if something weird happens I'm like, guys, this has just happened. Because as much as like, yeah, it's cool, like I connect with people through it, it's a huge part of the business. And we've had moments where we don't post as much because we are busier, and sometimes you have like moments where you're like, I don't want to be on my phone, I don't want to put, you know. But if we don't, then we see a massive drop in our members and sales. So it's like part of my job.
So obviously you and Maz have your like fitness program, and please feel free to jump in and tell me more about that. But like, yeah. Again, you've already said there, yeah, you've got to get conversions, you need sales, you need that sales funnel.
Yeah.
So before we jump maybe into like your business model, was that scary learning all that? Because again, you're like, I dance for a living, and now you're like, right, I need KPIs, target, sales funnel. They're quite scary things.
Yeah, really scary. Like, so when I did the work, first of all, like I didn't become an online coach and start like overnight just start saying, guys, do this, do that. That would have been weird and people wouldn't have built any trust. I was on the gym floor, I was teaching classes, so I think people saw that transition first. And I really think that with whatever you do, like whatever you move into, you have to put the work in as well, same as like how you learn to sing, how you learn to dance. Like you can't just expect something to happen overnight, and that's how you get, you know, better at things. So I think that transitioning into that, and then when I then went online, that was actually an ex-dancer who worked for a company, like an online fitness company, a friend of mine, who was like, do you want to be an online coach? And was just, I was like, okay. And basically he was like an agent, took commission of like each person that I was coaching. And he was like, okay, we'd had a meeting, and he's like, okay, you've got to go in front of the camera, and you've got to say, like, it was awful. It was so unaligned. He was like, do you want to lose weight? Do you? And I was just felt so icky doing that. I was like, do I have to say it like that? He was like, do it however you want. And obviously started posting, then started getting clients, then people see it, and then it builds. But if I look back at those videos now, I'm like, oh my God, that is horrific. But I just forced myself to do it. And again, it's being in that uncomfortable situation where you make yourself do something. Same as you, like being in front of camera. I'm sure, like when I watched you do the intro, I was like, oh God, that made me feel uncomfortable. But you've done it so many times, so you've mastered it.
Yeah, I still have to, if I'm ever editing a show reel, I'm like, I need a glass of wine with that.
Yeah.
But again, I think we always say marketing, like go ugly first. And what we mean by that is obviously share something. Because if you wait, you're always going to say, oh, that was too late. So it's better just to share something and then go back and go, oh, I can do that better next time. So as you said, you kind of pushed out your comfort zone and thought, I just need to do this video.
Yeah.
Because that's your springboard then going forward.
Yeah. So then you just have to keep doing it. So I was doing it on my own for a bit, and then it got really busy. I was really lucky. And then I got really lonely. I was like, I don't like, because I stopped PT and I was like making better money doing online coaching. And I really wanted, I felt like I spent so many years performing and being like doing whatever other people said I had to do, and not going to weddings and not going on holiday, that I was like, oh my God, I can work from my laptop anywhere in the world. So I've like been living my best life traveling. But then I was like, oh, I'm by myself the whole time. So then that's cue when Maz, my my like who was my friend, she became a PT same time as me. She's thinking about leaving the gym that she worked in and being freelance, and I was like, let's create the business together. So we did like a little 6-week challenge. We loved working together, and like it's been the best thing we've ever done.
I think that's so lovely to highlight, because when you've been in the arts industry, you're surrounded by so many people.
Yeah.
You would bump into people at auditions, wouldn't you? And that'd be your social catch up. And then when you kind of first of all leave that sphere, that's quite isolating because you don't see everyone.
Yeah.
And then again, you change your business model again from being in person to online. So I think it's so lovely that you think, actually, I need that support system. I need someone to bounce ideas off of.
We need connection. Some people don't. Some people don't care. But if you've come from an environment where like you are literally around people all the time, I think that was my favorite thing about being in shows. Like I still miss that now, you know, like turn up even if there's like absolute Muppets in your cast.
Yes,
but you still kind of like it.
Yeah, like whether like obviously you don't want the drama, but whatever there is that day, whether it's drama, stupid gossip, funny stories, whatever it is, it's just nice to be around people that get it. They're in the same position as you. And like we always, I think one of the good traits of being a performer is that we're always good at starting again, aren't we? Because you're doing an amazing job and then right and back to auditions again.
So it's like, mad now I look back on it and think about how it all works when they're just like, or even when you do auditions, you're seen like 5 times, you learn all the stuff, you turn up and you've cancelled, you made a lie up to cancel your side job, all the stress of that, and then you're waiting to hear and they don't even say like, oh, you haven't got it, you're just waiting and you find out because your friend got it, you know. I'm like, can't we just send an email like ChatGPT can do it now, can't it?
Exactly, especially now because you're out of the industry, but can you still work with lovely people in it?
Yeah,
you must think, oh my god, why did I do that? Or that was because when you try and articulate to someone who's not a performer, it's quite like, I remember going to a casting once for an advert and I learned a script and I was like, mum, my first advert of a script. And I got there and I said, don't worry, just walk around the room and we're going to throw mini butters at you. I had to catch mini butters and I was thinking, but obviously you want the job. So you're like, of course.
I'll do it.
You think, what is my life? So do you have those moments now when you hear someone, that maybe a client, and you're like, that's wild.
Yeah, I think it's wild. But I must say as well, like, you think that dancing or performing is the wildest thing in the world, but also like or the most stressful thing. But sometimes I think running a business is actually really stressful, and doing other things is very stressful too. So sometimes I think maybe I'd quite like to, don't know, like do a show one night and then go home. I don't know, I probably wouldn't actually.
I can throw mini butters at you if that
yeah
would
I
help.
Would do that, that'd be funny.
But I think one of the things you're really good at online is talking about how like dancers need to, like, especially for females, weights, you don't need to be scared of the weights, like that more well-rounded fitness. So what maybe are some of the things you would say to someone now who's thinking, I need to get, obviously, first of all, they should sign up to your program if they want to get fit. Yeah. But what I mean, if someone's like, right, today I want to build up my courage and get rid of that resistance of going to the gym.
Yeah.
Maybe what machines or what area should they start off? Or is it maybe a mental thing? What advice would you give to someone who wants to start a fitness journey?
Well, I think you should listen to our podcast, because we have a podcast called Fit Female Project. And we talk about various subjects. We get asked questions all the time. So we've got an episode on like how to be a gym girl, how to get gym confidence, how to get more protein in. Every subject, every question that's ever been asked, we'll do a little mini podcast on it. What are you meant to do when you're on holiday? You know, all the things that everyone asks. But I really think that knowledge is power, and there isn't really like a you just start. That's the answer. But you just know that mentally, of course, you can do it. If you're somebody who learns choreography, then you can sit on a leg press and do that. You know what I mean? Like, we just have to get over that. I know it is a scary place. I was petrified of the gym. When I was on Royal Caribbean, we used to, the gym, they have amazing gyms on there. Oh no, we used to do Insanity in the studio.
Yes, yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember Insanity? Yeah. Like, what were we doing? We could have been like getting stronger and using all of that. All like the weights and training really well, and they were like jumping up and down.
I used to, this when I went for a cabin, I'll just go on there like the cross trainer because it overlooked the ocean. I
mean,
but I'm already doing the aerial show, I should be working other muscle groups. But you just think, I go what's safe or the least busiest, like
exactly. And it's that safe, getting out, that safety That yeah, and thinking about what you need. So for example, you on the ship, you were being an aerialist, so you should have been training. You should have been.
I should have been.
We should have been training. The only weight training I was doing was the buffet.
Oh, yeah, or that midnight buffet. I'm like, oh, I didn't have a tater tot at that hour. Yeah.
Oh my god. So I think that just start and just take a moment to think, what do I specifically need? Everybody should be essentially lifting weights or resistance training in some shape or form for our health, but particularly if you are a performer, then that's going to make you better.
And yeah. Again, going back to what you look like, how you feel,
yeah,
with Audie as a creative, you have so many insecurities, so why go into that audition or that casting already feel on the back foot? Like, why not try and arm yourself as well as you can to think, you know what, this is my 100% today. That's all I can control.
Yeah. I think if you even think in your head about like the days where if you start your day or you turn up at work and you've literally like dragged yourself out of bed and you just ended up there and you haven't moved all weekend and you've got there, or you've had an active weekend and you've been to the gym, you feel more together when you've moved. So I think that just always think about the feeling that you're going to have when you turn up.
You might get this all the time because I've got a dog, love him, and obviously I walk him, and after I've walked him, I feel so much better. But there's before having a dog, there'll be some mornings I'm like, oh, I don't need to get up, I'm just going to go get a cup of tea and come back to bed. Yeah. You probably get that a lot with clients that are maybe, we inadvertently are making excuses of why we couldn't. So is that something you find quite a lot?
Yeah, and I do it as well. Like, I find it really hard. Like, Maz is actually my coach right now because I was like, I need a little bit of a kick. And do you know what? Sometimes when you have accountability and you have, like, I've paid her as well. Yeah. When you pay for something, it's amazing what you can do.
Yes.
And when you start doing those things, you think maybe before you think, I can't fit it into my day, I can't do that. But when you start doing it, you feel really proud of yourself, and that's really energizing.
I think accountability is something that's so important. And when you're training, also when you were like out of college training, your accountability, like, if I don't do my coursework, I fail my degree, or if I don't do this, I flunk out, whatever. But when you're a freelancer, there's not necessarily someone there to kind of be that accountable. So is that another piece of advice maybe you say, is try and get someone, whether it's your partner, friend, coach, an accountability person?
100%. It could be your friend. Like, say, I know as a performer you don't know money wise what's going on, but you still manage to find like £100 for a singing lesson. But this is why we say, because I know that obviously that singing lesson is important, but it's also important, if you had a coach for 6 weeks, you would learn so much. That's a really good investment. And it might be an investment into you booking your next job. I really think that it seems like a lot, but you are investing in you. It's the same as like investing in a show reel or something.
I think that's lovely, because I was never a gifted singer, and I'd always be like, oh, I'm going to go for the day before an audition. I'll get the most expensive singing teacher. And I'm like, I can sing now. I couldn't sing any better. But like, I would do that one class hoping that I would get the job. And actually thought, if I split that money over 4 months gym membership, I might have actually secured more work in this avenue, or just felt more empowered. So I think that's like really a good point to say.
Yeah, I think so. And it's also what you're like, we're not taught anything at college really about training outside of dancing. Were you?
Not really, no, to be honest. It's like you have to be laser focused on this one thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's changed now. I know I've been to like quite a few colleges to talk about nutrition and like how to fuel yourself, and it was actually quite surprising listening to what people were fueling themselves with.
I don't think I had much on nutrition at all. It was literally like, I'm just gonna go dance classes, and then you ate whatever you could just to get through.
That was it, whatever's quick. And you're a student as
well, the vending machine done.
But like, literally, no, think of how much we were using our body. Did I know anything? I never thought about protein. I don't think I even knew what it was.
Or I used to reward myself with food. Like, I've danced all day and I can eat that. Yeah. I'm like, but have I actually burnt that many calories to eat that massive platter?
We used to go get Ben and Jerry's. We lived next to Tesco's Express. We'd get a big thing of Ben and Jerry's fish food and we'd all eat it together.
We danced all day. So what would be in your dance bag now if you were training? If there was a student listening or someone who's actually just booked a new show, what should they have in their bag to keep them sustained?
I love that. So definitely focusing on protein, hydration, really important. I really think that I spent most of my career dehydrated.
100%, yes.
I couldn't remember anything.
know, like, I look great. I remember, like, you need like, more water. Yes.
Yeah, like, can remember, because your hydration is going to impact your, like, you remembering the choreography, your concentration. So definitely that. Yeah, thinking about protein sources, colourful foods, carbs. Don't be scared of carbs, because that's what's going to give you energy as well. And just understanding, I think it's really important for people to know what their requirements are. There's nothing wrong with like having some treats or whatever, but don't fall into this like trap of just like a packet of crisps. Like, I know they're easy to grab, but how's that going to fuel you? It's going to give you anything. So it's like thinking about those kind of things.
Yeah, good choice. So you said crisps are easy, but nuts might just be as easy and sustain you longer.
Yeah, just like knowing which things to pick up on the go and just like fueling yourselves. And I'd also throw some resistance bands in there as well.
Again, that's good if you're touring, if you're on a ship. That's something you can create a full body workout from those bands.
Yeah,
can't you,
just some like bands just to keep everything active and your muscles like switched on. Like, obviously when you're in a show or you're doing something that requires a lot of movement and strength, then you probably, your body's going to be tired, but keeping your muscles active, we'll throw them in there too.
Okay, before I let you go, I've got a little lightning round of it.
Okay,
it is called lights, questions, action.
Okay,
so literally quick fire questions. I just want you to answer whatever comes into your mind.
Okay,
you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, go-to song to pump you up for a workout.
Oh my god. I love Talamanca. It's like an Ibiza song.
Okay.
It's like a house. I love house music.
I'm gonna put that on my list.
Ibiza
great
songs, yeah.
Plank or burpees, what is the lesser evil?
Oh god, plank is definitely lesser evil.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think a plank is that hard.
Maybe because I'm weak, I'm just like shaking, convulsing.
Really?
But
yeah,
okay.
I think I'd choose plank.
I'll take your word from it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Most overrated fitness trend right now.
Oh god. Oh, I'm going to get a lot of stick for this, but I'm going to go for it. Reformer Pilates.
Okay.
I love it. I like it myself, but I think people like doing way too much of it and think it's going to change their lives.
Yeah, I get what you mean by that. Like, it's great to do, but it won't, that one thing will not reinvent your whole.
Yeah,
I get that.
I think it's fabulous, but incorporating other things is important. This isn't quick enough, is it?
Yeah. No, but no hate on that. I don't want you to get like someone to throw like a reformer bed at you as you walk out.
No, so, it's fab, but it's not going to just
great.
We need more.
Most underrated daily habit for staying strong.
Underrated daily habit for staying strong. Just moving your body in general.
Yeah. Okay. Don't get stagnant. One stretch every dancer should now adapt or put into their body. I say adapt, it should be adopt.
Adopt.
They want to adopt it. Don't adapt it. Adopt it.
What stretch? Like the runners, you know, like a runner stretch. So you're like in a plank position, take it into a lunge and then open it up onto the side. Oh, demo, but
it's okay. We'll do that. That'll be in the follow-up episode. Okay. Protein shake or post-workout coffee?
Oh, god, both. Love. I mean, I'm not that much of a fan of a protein shake. I prefer whole foods.
Lovely. Rest day, are you giving yoga and flow, are you doing Netflix and snacks?
Bit of both.
One piece of gym equipment you swear by?
Dumbbells.
Okay. Your go-to healthy snack?
Cottage cheese on rice cakes.
Oh, the rice cakes coming back for sponsorship.
Yes.
And then last question, obviously we've been on a podcast now. Do you leave podcast length voice notes or do you prefer a text?
Voice notes
all the way.
Voice notes, yeah.
Well, that's it, Chelsea. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All that's left to say is make sure you subscribe and comment wherever you watch or listen to your podcast, and stay tuned for the next episode.